We see the news that teen vaping's on the rise, but teens see something else. Internet videos that talk up fun flavors and downplay the dangers of nicotine. How can parents talk so kids will listen? Use facts. 1. Nicotine can rewire teens' brains. 2. It can make kids more anxious. 3. Changes to the brain can be permanent. So even when it tastes like candy, nicotine is brain poison. Go to flavorshookkids.org for more.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Kingsley. Now, the jobs report came out in the US just at the start of the weekend. Maybe you can start by helping us dissect the data. Is the US jobs market as solid as some are claiming it to be?
Well, it is showing continued strength outside of the participation rate, which was a bit weaker, but that may actually be due to weaker demographic factors, particularly amongst the older age group. Given that it was pretty strong and the unemployment rate went down, we think the Fed now seems certain to raise rates at the December 13th, 14th meeting. With rates this low, the prospect of it hurting the economy seems quite weak. The bigger factor really is the sell-off in the global bond market. There's obviously been a big drawdown since mid-year, but bonds are still up year-to-date. With this environment, we think that the yield curve steepening, that is the long rates becoming higher against the short rates, stocks can still rise against the backdrop of that, particularly in areas like banking, which benefits from a steeper yield curve, and also the growth proxies like basic materials and energy.
Well, let's dive deeper into this sell-off that we're seeing in bonds. Now, we've seen both treasuries and emerging market bonds sell off simultaneously. I guess what's confounding here is that emerging market assets are the polar opposite of treasuries on the risk spectrum. So EMs are the ultimate in high risk, whereas treasuries are the ultimate in safety. And yet they've both sold off simultaneously. Kingsley, what's happening here?
Well, firstly, let's remember we've had a 30-year bull market in bonds. So both the sell-off in treasuries and the sell-off in emerging market bonds are symptomatic of an investor view that's growing, that we're really coming towards the end of that bull market in bonds. So rates structurally are likely to be higher in the long term. That's the key factor. The second thing to remember is that we're in a strong dollar environment right now, and historically that's been bad for emerging markets, which sometimes have foreign currency debt in U.S. dollars, and it's also typically bad for the gold market. So you're actually seeing a combined sell-off in emerging market bonds, U.S. treasuries, and gold. The one place where you're seeing emerging markets show some strength is where you have oil-rich economies that were coming out of recession. So Brazil to some extent has been stronger this year, and also Russia. So that's kind of how we see things going on in terms of the bond market. The area where you'll probably see some stress going forward, some benefits going forward, is obviously in the energy sector and oil services in particular.
Kingsley, do you think yields have further to rise, or was this just an extraordinary bump in the Trump tantrum, as we call it?
Yes, well, look, that is certainly part of it, but I think we need to reflect on the fact that bonds actually started selling off globally in about June, July. And we don't think that's because there was a strong view at the time that Trump was going to be re-elected. The fact that Trump was elected, obviously in the short term, the markets took fright over that prospect and they bought the bonds. But then I think the result of the Trump election, and particularly his fiscal stimulus policies, is simply been to accelerate a bond sell-off that had actually started mid-year, perhaps on the view that monetary policy was pretty much done and that the global bull market in bonds is drawing to a close.
Well, what about the strength of the rally in U.S. equities? Because we really did see that really ramp up after the elections.
Well, certainly, but I think one has to look under the covers of what's actually happening in the U.S. equity market. Some areas like technology have not been so strong, particularly the digital firms that had done so well previously, you know, the Amazons of the world and the like. Where we have seen the overall market rise is because there have been a number of sectors that have suffered from investor neglect, particularly banking in the United States, obviously energy, which is suffering from weak oil prices. But beyond that, the basic industrials. So there were a whole series of firms that are involved in producing materials that are used in the construction industry and also construction industry equipment that rallied strongly post-Trump. And that's actually extended globally. So in other parts of the world, there appears to be a developing view that we're going to see more fiscal stimulus and a revival of that sector of the economy. So in a sense, that's what's supporting the US market, but it's also been supporting pockets of global markets elsewhere.
Well, let's shift over to the EU, to Europe, because the Italian referendum, we won't get concrete results until late in the day. But how do you think that this will likely impact markets?
Well, look, it does appear on the exit polling as though there was a strong no vote delivered to the current PM on constitutional reform. Now, obviously, what that means is that it's getting a little bit more difficult politically to act going forward in a way that the authorities in the EU have preferred concerning the Italian banking crisis. So specifically, the problem is Italian banks have up to 20% non-performing loans, and they really have to do something about that. So this political stalemate, if you will, is likely to bring that to a head in the aftermath of the election. So in the very short term, that's probably a negative, and I note that the euro was a little weaker against the dollar following the exit polls. However, we have to also set that against the fact that in Austria, some people were concerned that this electoral result in the US with Trump might be reflected in a general shift to the right. Now, in the recent Austrian polls, certainly it seems on the basis of the initial polling and exit polling that the other candidate, the centre-left candidate, mm-hmm. will be elected.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that as the results will trickle in throughout the day. But given everything that we've discussed, Kingsley, how are you positioning your portfolio now?
Well, as I mentioned, energy really is the standout cheap sector, but it's going to take a while for it to recover. The other industrial metals are firming, and certainly within that space, there's a lot of opportunity. We've been buying some stocks in the nickel sector and elsewhere. In Australia, there's a company called South32, which is a big producer of base metals, and that's been rallying strongly, as has the coal market. So we're already participating there. I think in the precious metals market, we had been positioned more heavily in gold in the belief that there might be post-Trump something of a firming in that, but that hasn't transpired. We think actually that with this environment, we'll probably see more strength in the other precious metals that have industrial uses like platinum and palladium.
To interrupt you, Kingsley, are you not worried about the stronger dollar environment?
Well, the stronger dollar in the short term is going to cause problems for trade and also for emerging markets. But we think that that's likely to correct itself early next year. So there's not an urgent need to do a sector rotation all at once in this market, but we do think that they're the places that one needs to go more into the energy, basic materials and finance sectors globally, but be conscious of the fact that we're going to have US dollar strength in the immediate short term.
Thank you so much for your insights. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer of Jevons Global in Sydney, Australia.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area, visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!